Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc. It's up for another day. Broadcast this one's right here at the United Center as we get ready for the Hawks taking on the Vancouvers at 7:30 tonight. Puck drop. And we got the pregame show at 7 o'clock. Brian Campbell's going to join us a little bit later on in the program. We're going to watch people come in because there is new life breathed into our beloved Blackhawks here. That is a big deal, Kevin Powell.
Look, it's not that we don't get excited about Blackhawks games every time we're here, or really every single Blackhawks game, but like we can be honest about it. The past year, it's kind of been tough to get up for Hawks games because they haven't carried a ton of weight. This is a massive game for the Blackhawks. If they win tonight, they're just one game out of the playoffs. They're one game back of the wild card, just like that. And a month ago, we thought this team was dead, right? We thought right. Maybe they could try to sell people off at the trade deadline. Now you're like, whoa. Maybe this team's starting to buy into what Jeremy Colleton's selling them. The offense is scoring in bunches. During the winning streak, they've outscored opponents 28-15.
Pretty great.
In their last 16 power plays, they've scored 14 times.
They're just a ton of fun to watch.
Right now. You're finally getting the blend of like the veterans with the new guys. DeBrincat's still performing. Patrick Kane's having an unreal year. I think he should be in the MVP conversation. That's how good I think he's playing right now.
Right.
You know, his point total's right up there at the top. Goal total is second behind only Alex Ovechkin. He seems to keep getting better somehow.
Oh, so, don't you like that Stanley Cup matchup? Is it too soon for me to start discussing Stanley Cup matchups?
No.
Finally, the one I've wanted to see this entire time.
I think it's totally valid.
I wanted to see the Hawks and the Capitals because I just, to me, that is the, you know, those have been two. We put Pittsburgh in there too. I don't like to ever talk about them, but. But you know, those are the dominant, two of the most dominant offensive teams, and Ovechkin's in the conversation, right? With, you know, Kid Sid and with Taves and Kane and all that. And to me, I can't tell you how exciting this is. I can't believe that we're sitting here talking about this because all year that we've been out here, it's been pretty morbid.
It has been. This is the most excited I've been for a Blackhawks game in probably over a year. Right? At least over a year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're
maybe 2 years.
Right,
yes.
right back in the thick of things in the playoff run. I don't think we're getting carried away with it. I mean, if you're just 3 points behind with 28 games left, you got a pretty good shot, especially considering the way they're playing. Cam Ward and Colin Delia have been solid as of late over the past couple weeks here. So they're gelling. They've been fun. And they're in the playoff hunt, baby.
Yes. That's all I want to think about right now.
Yes.
I want to think those thoughts. Did bring Liam Neeson to the United Center, and I just left him out in the concourse, and he was trying to climb up the Jordan statue with a cushion in his hand, and I just had to leave him because
he's bludgeoning the Jordan statue.
He's bludgeoning the Jordan statue.
Hockey's got to be his favorite sport.
It's just such a it really is. It really is. So I don't know. I'm really hoping that
he doesn't get too dangerous while we're here.
Yeah,
behave.
We'll check. We'll check.
Take your anger out on the statue.
Oh, there he is back there. Right
there he is.
He's hitting a statue, which is really weird. Quite know what to make with that. All right, coming up on the program, we have a lot to get to. First of all, Ben Bradley is going to join us. We're going to talk about this plane crash. This very mysterious private plane crash that happened over last weekend in California, killing a bunch of people in a house. Plane falls out of the sky into a house. The guy who was piloting the plane, everyone thought was a former Chicago police officer. Chicago police are like, no, he's not.
Didn't he have a fake ID? Sorry, I just jumped in. But didn't he have a fake Chicago police ID on him as well? Which is what led them to believe that, oh, this is a former Chicago police officer.
And a badge that had been missing since the 1970s.
Ooh.
Right? Because when a badge is stolen or missing, they deactivate it. They deactivate the number, and they know what that is.
Very mysterious.
Very mysterious. Who is he? What's it all about? Ben Bradley has an answer for you. Anna is going to teach Mike Flannery how to host a debate. because I
he now knows how to do that.
We had a conversation before you went out to do this debate last night.
We did,
And there was a I gave you a little pep talk about not letting any of these
don't let them get away with anything.
Right,
I think is what you told me.
I think that's exactly were exactly my words, and I did, and I and you. I was listening to that, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm afraid of her.
Honestly, I couldn't believe it. These candidates really kept to that 60-second time frame because I think they were in fear for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you for the instruction because I think it worked out. That was very, very threatening.
I would like to apologize to your husband and your entire family for
now
what
I realize that works.
What I have what I have instructed you to do, but it was really good, and you really got to them, and you had a great closing question for them that I think threw them completely for a loop.
Yeah,
and it was super great. Is that that's got to be up at WGNRadio.com.
We've got the whole thing up, the entire mayoral forum from last night. They got into each other. They were taking digs, and it was lively and spirited, and I think that they certainly differentiated themselves. And there were people came out to me afterwards and said, you know what? I made up my mind tonight. So that was a good thing. They felt they learned something.
We have some of it in the top five as well.
Good.
Yeah, that we'll play. And then we're going to get...
I think I know which part you have.
Flannery is doing the... I hope it's the part where we go, sit down!
Don't make me ring that bell again!
There was one moment where Anna pulled out her kush. And
Liam Neeson
style. Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I wouldn't have touched the cush. But
let me tell you something, you Chicago bastards. You sit down right there. You shut up and you give us some quality and stop talking about everything else.
And stop lying, too. Yeah.
It was something like that. It was really unbelievable. So Flannery's doing a debate tonight. Through Lincoln Forum, he's got not all of the candidates. I think he's got six tonight, and then they're going to do another.
They're going to do another one, and I think some of those candidates are going to be protesting outside the first candidate thing today.
Well, and Amara Enya, five tonight, and Amara Enya is not one of them, and she sued to stop the debate, and a Cook County judge was like, let's see. Hold on. Let me read this. Amara Enya.
Let's look at the polling results.
Yes, for the people versus Mike Flannery and facts. I find on behalf of Mike Flannery and facts.
They did.
Yeah.
So the debate goes on.
So the debate goes on, yeah. So it's real. I mean, listen, people. Stay tuned. Stay strapped in for the next 2 weeks. Because if you think you've seen anything yet in this mayoral race,
so true.
You have seen nothing, because these people are not only... You see stuff coming out. You see the stories about Bill Daley that came out. All
front
of a sudden,
page of the Tribune.
They're digging out a story about Bill Daley from 130 years ago.
Right. He was able to get through like Secret Service and White House protocols in terms of getting his security clearances, but apparently there was one test he had some help on.
Yeah. And a bar exam or something like that?
It was for an insurance exam.
That's
which seems like one that you think he could pass on his own. But the Tribune says that he might have had some help.
All right. Well, we will. Oh, that. Well, that's. I mean, of all the things, right? I mean, it's just crazy. All right. So stay right here.
This week on Chicago's Best, love is in the air. From romantic dinners to competitive games, the CP team is scoping out Chicago's Best date night spot Sunday night at 10 on WGMT.
Our live broadcast from the United Center for the Hawks game, brought to you by Citgo. Fill up at your locally owned station today. Ben Bradley is standing by in the WGN-TV newsroom as he's getting ready for the WGN-TV news. I guess that would be that's a good place.
Is that
for
how
him.
It works?
Good place for him to be if that's what's going to happen.
I can't wait for the details on this story.
Yes, Benjamin, explain. Now, this story has been mysterious since moment one. Airplane crash near was it Loma Linda, California? Over the weekend, small plane goes into a house. A number of people killed, including the pilot. There is a Chicago police paperwork and a badge. People thought that this guy was a former Chicago police officer, retired Chicago police officer, and it turns out none of that is true. What's going on there?
In the wreckage that they thought he was a cop, Anthony Pistini had been telling people for decades, that he was a cop who served on the Chicago Police Force for 21 years. A local newspaper in Nevada where he lived did an article about him about a decade or so ago in which he made that claim, said a restaurant he owned outside of Reno had become a cop hangout because he himself was a former police officer. But, yeah, within a couple of hours of his name being released and word that that Chicago Police star had been found in the wreckage, a Chicago Police spokesperson quickly said it had no record of anyone by that name ever serving on the force. Now we've learned, the LA Times reporting that that police star was reported missing in 1978, around the time that Pistini changed his name. He was actually born Jordan Isaacson, changed his name in the mid-1970s. And that's apparently when he began telling people that he was a retired Chicago cop.
So, Jordan Isaacson was not a Chicago police officer, we're assuming.
I'm assuming that, yeah. Yeah, it was because the police star was not stolen until 1978.
And did that officer, has that officer...
You know, I reached out to Chicago police this afternoon trying to get a bit more information on, you know, who the star belonged to, you know, what the circumstances of it going missing were, and I have not yet heard back. But the National Transportation Safety Board, which did go out to that scene in Yorba Linda, California, is only in its early stages of investigating the crash. Other than some kind of experts who reviewed some footage and the wreckage field, who said, you know, it looked like that plane broke up midair, and then the debris rained down on those homes. We don't have a cause of the crash. And there was also a pretty cryptic Facebook post from Pistini just about 3 days before the crash. He wrote, no need for any response. Facebook takes your time away. Posts and comments are usually BS. I'm signing off and deleting my account. If it's too difficult for you to keep in touch, you were never my friend to start with. This is the last post and last time I will open Facebook.
And that was from?
That was from Pistini or Isaacson, depending on his true identity. And
How easy was it back in the 70s to change your identity versus today?
Seriously.
Right? I mean, think about that.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the LA Times reached out to, I guess, Pastini's daughter, who had talked to an LA Times reporter, you know, shortly after the crash and provided some biographical information on her father. When the Times reporter reached back out to her to say, hey, what's this about a name change in the police claim, the daughter stopped talking to the reporter. So a lot of unanswered questions there, a big mystery, you know, especially considering, you know, we don't know much about
the daughter's name is Pistini or Isaacson.
Well, he was Jordan Isaacson until the mid-1970s when he changed his name to Pistini.
Right, so she's younger than that, we're assuming, so she might she might be a Pistini. Did he legally change his name?
According to the Orange County Sheriff's Department, yeah, he changed his legally changed his name. But
and did and Ben, did he have any connectivity? Because four people were killed, if I recall, in that home.
Four
in
members Yorba Linda? Of the same family, Anna. They were gathered for a Super Bowl party.
So sad.
Wreckage from this plane rained down on about a dozen homes. And there was just so much fuel that fueled a fire.
But no connectivity between this house. Individual and the people in that house.
Oh, not that we know of, no. Boy, that would be...
And the plane,
it wasn't as though the plane crashed into the house.
Oh, I see.
It broke up midair from the early indications.
Got it.
Wow.
So
interesting
many questions.
Stuff.
It really is. All right, well, you know what?
He did pick a very, very authentic-sounding Chicago cop name, though. You know,
Pistini.
Pistini.
Yeah.
You can see him. I think he worked out
Grand
at 12.
Avenue.
Yeah.
Right. That's really it's fascinating. Because so he made up this whole backstory, too.
Yeah.
And then to die in such a way, in such a public way, so that the whole scheme eventually becomes unraveled.
Right.
Right.
The intention of that intentional.
Oh,
and let's just hope that it's a coincidence that a guy who had, you know, changed his identity, assumed another identity, you know, died in such a public fashion where we would find out about it. That this was not kind of some sort of more sinister, mm-hmm. plan.
Right. Mm-hmm. Taking it as wanting to go out in a spectacular way, but then ending up taking it in a horrifying way for people, you know, from the same family because they died basically trapped in a firestorm in that home.
Yeah.
When the wreckage hit it.
Unbelievable tragedy.
I mean, just think about, you know, your dad. And that is the most random of things. When you're in a home, you expect nothing to be able to, or you'd at least get a sense that it's coming.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
This is a bolt from above, which is just unbelievable. So, all right. Well, more on that. I think the nation's starting to pick up on this story, is starting to get some traction.
Yep.
And especially in L.A., they're fascinated by it. So, but I, you know what? And I would encourage the Chicago Police Department to be a little bit more forward-leaning on this, you know, to be able to provide as much information as they possibly mm-hmm. can here.
Well, and they have a vested interest, right, in protecting the prestige of a police star. And
right.
certainly, you know, the memory for whoever star that was.
Yeah. Because it just, because if it seems like, and I know it may be hard to go back and get these records, and they may, literally, they may have to go to a warehouse
mm-hmm.
somewhere and send somebody to go do it and get this stuff. And you know, they may not have the, it's sometimes the slow ups are as simple and mechanical as that. But in the meantime, there's a lot of public interest in this, and I think it really behooves the Chicago Police Department and the reputation of the Chicago Police Department to make this as clear as possible that you know this thing had been stolen or you know whatever the details are, so that if and we're assuming they have no complicity in any of this, that is made totally clear. So, all right, thank you, Ben. We'll see you tonight on the WGN TV News at 4.
And enjoy the rest Blackhawks games, guys.
Thank you very much. 5, Thanks. 6, 9, 10, 12, and 14. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right. Mike Flannery is joining us. He is hosting a mayoral forum. The Lincoln Forum presents Chicago Mayoral Forum. That seems wordy, Mike. I don't know how I feel about that. Hosted by Fox 32 and moderated by Fox 32
Pretty
political
word,
editor.
Yeah.
Mike Flannery at 7 p.m. tonight. Yeah, so it's very wordy.
6 p.m. From 6 p.m. To 7 p.m. Broadcast live. No commercial breaks. Five front-running candidates. And then tomorrow night at 9:30, from 9:30 to 10:30, five more candidates who have a pretty good shot at this thing, too. It's I've not quite seen anything like this, Ro. This is a wide-open contest.
All right, so let's talk about Amara Enya for a second, because she tried to sue you, Mike. She tried to keep you from going to work today.
Well, you know, my mom told me, she led me to believe, Ro, that I was universally loved and acclaimed. I'm shattered to realize that may not be true.
So she sued you, but she did, but a judge. Thanks be to God, in the Chancery Courts, for God, somebody, you know, saw the light of day. Who said that this cannot be? We must, Fox 32 should not be not allowed. It cannot be enjoined so that we cannot have this particular vehicular incident happening tonight at 6 o'clock.
Well, I mean, if the lawsuit had worked, I had suggested to my son that maybe he could sue Katy Perry for the irreparable damage that he suffers every day that she refuses to go out on a date with him.
Oh, you that's know, creepy, people... Mike. I don't even know where to begin with that. That's just you just crossed some sort of a creep meter. All right, okay. So Anna, I mean, last night,
people can decide who to invite, who not to invite. You know, the judge
but
threw
you
it.
But you got out. Her tomorrow night, right?
Is that how it goes,
Correct.
Mike Flannery? Okay,
Correct.
So you have
What's
the you have split them up in
yep,
two.
She's coming, Lori Lightfoot tomorrow night for the show that's going to air from 9:30 to 10:30. You know, and several other candidates. We're all set. You know, Gary McCarthy, Paul Vallis, mm-hmm. and LaShawn Ford.
Okay, and then who's on the big show tonight? The big
and tonight we have Tony Preckwinkle, Bill mm-hmm. Daly, Susana Mendoza, Gary Chico, and Willie Wilson.
Now I will say that last night Anna hosted the WGN Crane Chicago Business Forum, and that had nine.
That was a good one.
Yes.
We had nine people, and boy, are they, you know, they realize that it's less than 3 weeks to Election Day, because they're trading shots. They're showing they're differentiating themselves from each other and making it very clear who's allied with which corrupt individual, or who's the more machine was one of the things last night. Who's the most machine?
Right. Right. Well, you know, I mean, we laugh about it, but yeah, it's this is serious stuff. I mean, Chicago faces all the, you know, one crisis after another, the violence, the pension obligations and other debts and the taxes. You know, ROMs raised taxes. The property tax has gone up, if you count all the allied governments, $1.5 billion, 47% since 2011. And these guys or gals, whoever gets in there, there's not going to be an easy ride here.
No.
Maybe the first question ought to be, why do you want this job?
Yeah, that is a question I ask each and every
you
one
too.
Of them. I've been, you know, for the last 9 months when they've been popping up and saying they wanted to do this, I've been like, what do you want it for? But, you know, we know what they want it for. They want it for the power. The ones that worry me are the ones that want it for the pay raise. That's the one those are the ones that always concern me.
So you got to do the wrangling thing, which I think is always the hardest thing, because all of them want more time. They know these are important moments on television for you tonight. It feels as if, you know, they want to talk and they have a lot to say.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, they're all professionals. I mean, it's not personal, and I get that, and they understand that, and they have serious things to say and serious
sure.
decisions to make. Even those who don't have serious things to say, once they get in, they're going to have to make some decisions that have serious consequences for all of us. And you know that, and I think this kind of exchange, these kinds of forums, are really important. You know, and I think
sure.
the less structured, the better for voters to decide.
Yeah, we actually, last night, it was interesting you say that, because there are a few people came up to me and said, you know what, I made up my mind tonight, and I really felt like I learned something about each of these candidates, and ultimately that's what you want. You want people to feel as if they're understanding the vision they each lay out for the future of the city,
right.
And you're right, no, a lot of tough decisions are going to be facing them immediately after they take office.
Well, having heard that debate last night on the radio, and I'd say that Willie Wilson's the next mayor of the city, because he was the one that really, on a radio debate,
won people over.
He cuts right through in the radio. Because you're like, wait, what? There's a lot of that.
Yeah, he said when we asked, if not you, who would be mayor? Who would you pick? And he said, well, I'd be, you know, I'm like most Chicago politicians. I would just rename myself and vote for myself.
That was a good line, yeah.
He's got those good lines.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
All right, so what do we make of the Bill Daley story today, going back 100 years to an exam, an insurance exam? Is that of consequence for your debate tonight, and what do you make of it in terms of, it's kind of the first
well, I think it's,
swipe
I think
at
it's
him.
Likely, yeah, I think it's likely to come up tonight, and, you know, I mean, it goes back to the days when Bill Cameron and Bob Crawford used to ask Richard J. Daley, who this came out when he was still mayor, you know, and he was asked about these insurance questions. I think that didn't the one or more of the sons went to work at Heil, and Heil was the insurance company. I was the insurance broker that they worked for. You know, Daley had declined to answer questions, Richard J., back in the day, and he had said, well, I'll answer them at the appropriate time. And so that at the end of every news conference, somebody would ask, hey, is today the appropriate time? Because that would end the news conference. But, you know, it's like, I mean, Joe Biden, if he runs for president,
yeah.
And Bill Daley was once working for Biden for president. I mean, you know, he's going to be asked about this this plagiarism thing, this speech that where he seems to have liberally borrowed from another politician. You know, it's something that may have been 30, 40, 50 years ago, but it's all germane. Once you jump into the maelstrom, once you jump
yeah.
into this game, everything's fair game, I guess.
Sure.
And it'll be interesting to see how he responds.
Well, I will say that it is just beginning now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first shots, to Anna's point, last night on our debate, tonight on your debate, tomorrow night on, as I'm calling it, the children's table debates that you're having, there is...
These guys, look, one of those five tomorrow night, they could break through and get into the runoff. It's absolutely, it's not even a far stretch. But go ahead.
But I think we're going to see some really interesting things happen. That's all. That's all I'm trying to make a point here is that you're going to see some things that I don't think we had anticipated. We're going to hear stories, and it seems like Tony Preckwinkle has run for county board president now, mm-hmm. right, for two cycles, mm-hmm. has won going away for mm-hmm. two cycles. People don't ask a whole lot of questions about her, and all of a sudden, when she runs for mayor. Which is, it's a bigger job in the sense it's a larger budget that you run, but it's still, the county is
a big job.
Is a big job, mm-hmm. and nobody seemed to care about those things. And now, this is like the big time, and everybody wants to start asking questions.
Yeah, it's a different. You're on a different stage,
and it's an open. It's also because it's an open race, yeah. right?
And that's the stakes. And the stakes are different.
And in your political experience, isn't this when they typically start, stories start circulating about the things that we maybe haven't heard of before?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And who are you doing this with tonight, Mike?
What have you heard?
I don't want to talk about it. If I had it, I'd keep it to myself, and I'd share it with my audience before I'd give it to you. All right.
Very protective.
What do you got? What's the format tonight? Who's asking questions with you?
Believe it or not, it is just I, and I'm the moderator and the questioner, and we've got five candidates for mayor.
You got to get Anna to yell at them.
Yeah, I was Anna, very good at that. I wasn't yelling, though.
Anna scares me now. Yeah.
It was wrangling. But we really, but think about it. The whole reason you've split this up is the difficulty of last night. We had nine candidates, and so even one question can take 15 minutes, and you're limited in time. And so it's, you're trying to do what you can to bring out everything you can of each candidate, but you're limited in time.
Well, and I understand people are not happy with the way the panels ended up divvied up, but you put your finger on why we did it to begin
with. Exactly.
And, because the candidate, it's not fair to the candidates to limit them to, to 30-second answers, short answers. Tonight, from 6 to 7 tonight, if you watch, you're going to see, as long as they're saying something worth hearing, I'm going to let them go. The minute they start repeating and get into, rehearsed talking points, well, I'm going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's going to be an organic conversation.
That's what she did last night.
Yeah.
She said, I'm gonna do it quickly! Quickly!
It wasn't that bad.
Something like that.
But we had, we had to fit it in. I felt like we got a lot out of the candidates last night,
yes.
and we also called them out.
Yes,
so.
You
and
did.
I wish you luck. We'll be watching.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks very much.
We'll see you tonight.
Guys.
It's the big Merrill Forum on Fox 32 tonight, starting at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, brought to you by Lincoln Forum. Thank you, sir. Tom Skilling joins us, brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems. We are live from the United Center before the Hawks take on Vancouver tonight. It's all brought to you by Citgo. Fill up at your locally owned station today. All right, Tom. I'm
Hello,
very.
Bro.
Tom, I'm so confused, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
I don't know where to
Hello,
begin.
Hello, Anna. Well, Rome, Dr. Tom is here, so let her rip.
Okay, I'm driving around,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden it starts raining, and it starts raining in like thick droplets.
Uh huh.
These are not like thin droplets, mm-hmm. they're thick. They're wet. Even my windshield started to shiver from them.
I know. My dog wanted to go back in. He was like hitting her too hard.
Yeah, they were. I'm so confused. This is not freezing rain because it was rain.
No,
and it wasn't freezing when it hit the ground, as you described.
You know what's happening? We have a front go across the area, and the winds converge on a front, so you get extra oomph, lift in the air, and that produces heavier rains in a concentrated area right there by the so-called convergence zone. So I suspect that's what you were going through. Now what we're getting into are the backside winds, and boy, they are going to howl through tonight and tomorrow. Temperatures have already gone down to single digits out in Iowa. So what this is a little break-off lobe from this vast pool of cold air up north. Part of which visited us for several days last week, the so-called polar vortex invasion. Now, this will stab into the area late tonight, tomorrow night, and then pull back some on Saturday. Still be cold, but the winds will die down. And then we count six weather systems that have the potential of precipitation over the next 2 weeks. One of them six? Sunday. Six different systems. This is really an active pattern.
But
you know what, Ro? They move right along. You know, it's nice they've waited this late in the season to descend on us. It's not clear yet from, this far ahead, just how many of these will be big precipitation producers, but they have that potential. There'll be snow on Sunday and another one Tuesday and Tuesday night. So those are the next two we're watching. Could get
several
inches.
Well, next Thursday is Valentine's Day. And I always look at Valentine's Day as kind of the beginning of the end of the winter.
Uh-huh.
It's like, don't patronize me with that uh-huh. I know that was a knowing uh-huh that you just gave me. You just gave me a uh-huh, that's cute. But I always feel as though once you get there, you're never going to be more than 2 weeks without being over freezing at least.
Well,
we spent a lot of the winter over freezing anyway.
There's some truth to that. The sun angle's changing. The days are getting longer. With time, as we go this deeply into the winter season, the cold just doesn't seem to have the oomph it did even weeks ago. Tell that to somebody.
You mean a week ago? Are you talking about like 1 week ago?
Yeah.
Because that was pretty oomphy.
I felt a lot of oomph then.
Yeah, that was. Mm-hmm. And we can still get some respectable cold spells. And I don't mean to, if you sit down there in the cavernous areas between the buildings downtown or in open areas, believe me, you'll say this is plenty cold. But
we all know, all of us sitting here right now know, there's no colder day in Chicago than St. Patrick's Day when you're on the float.
Yeah, I know.
And, that's so true.
And it is moving. The wind, it doesn't matter. The thing is moving. The wind is moving.
Yeah.
And it's a wet cold.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any colder.
Well, that's because of the expectation index, which is your expectations are that day should already be warm, even though we know, given history, it rarely is.
Yeah. I remember I was calling the St. Patrick's Day with Butch McGuire. Years ago on the TV side.
And the original Butch McGuire.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was raining horizontally. It was funny because you're told to watch the monitor because our cameras are sometimes tracking floats that are up the street, from right in front of you. They're not right in front of you. So you watch the monitor to see what the viewer is seeing at home as you describe what's going on. And the rain was so bad that the monitor was slowly shorting out. So you could see the picture shrinking until finally by the end of the parade, it was a line right down through the middle. And you were referring to what you were seeing right in front of you because you had no monitor to work with. And then when we left, it started hailing. And the parade still had an hour and a half to go.
How did that impact the parade floats and everything? Did they all still carry on? And
everybody was there. You know what cheerleaders that are there,
You feel for them.
Pardon me?
Oh, my gosh. It's just
The ones that are right, the high school cheerleaders.
Yeah, like the majorettes and the bands.
With the bands going by. And here they are in,
Right.
Spring-like
their legs are
garb.
Exposed.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, don't feel sorry for us up here, at least under a canopy, watching our monitors short out. What about these young people that are down there on the street, through this pouring rain? And as I say, as we were leaving, it started hailing. And so, boy, I'll tell you, St. Patrick's Day.
So that's 5 weeks. That's 5 weeks away. So let's not get ourselves too in a fluster. Do you realize that the Southside Irish Parade, on Western Avenue?
Yeah. Yes.
Over by there, is going to be on St. Patrick's Day itself. Now, they have spent a lot of time down there in the Beverly Mount Greenwood neighborhood to try to get this. The parade organizers have been fighting an uphill battle to try to clean up this particular event and make it family friendly.
That's right.
Because for
it got out of hand.
About some might argue up to a 20-year span, that particular parade had really become just a moving 2-mile-long bacchanalia, where there
no
was
question.
Every float and then the people along the sides. Because on Western Avenue down there, on one side you can drink. And on the other side, it's dry.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And you could tell which one from the other.
Right. Because technically, Mount Greenwood starts on the west side of Western Avenue, and Beverly is on the east side of Western Avenue. And so the east side is doctor's offices and dry cleaners and you know, little like fishing shops and stuff like that. And then on the west side, you know, there's a series of, you know, bars and restaurants in the state. Exactly.
You know,
and there was a lot of behavior, mm-hmm. and then people would sort of dip into the neighborhoods and do things on lawns and other kinds of places. And I would say they've done a pretty good job of cleaning it up, and I think it's all coming to an end on Sunday, March 17th of this year, because the cleanup is coming to an end. I think the lid's going to come off that thing.
I see.
Now, a little double whammy with St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that?
Well, yeah,
because it's St. Patrick's Day.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And remember, they canceled it, right? What was it, for 2 years or something? They canceled it, and then they brought it back slowly, and they want to make sure that the kids were all right. I'm just going to tell you. And I spend time down there. I see what goes on down there.
Yeah. You're worried?
It's like a pressure cooker. Huh. It's like I'm just waiting.
This year's going to be big, you think?
Kevin knows. He spends time down there.
You know? Go down there on a regular Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And a regular Saturday.
To one of those establishments we're talking about?
Every time I look at the back of my hands, I have a reminder of what could happen on the South Side Parade, because I have scars all over the back of my hand because a wrestling match happened to break out on Western Avenue.
Wow.
I may have been involved with that particular wrestling match.
Oh my gosh.
And
you know, it's broken glass, gravel.
You know. Things, but it was all in fun. Uh-huh. I mean, nobody was really angry at each other, I think, from what I can remember.
So you're part of the reason.
Well,
it started, Tom, it starts a little like this. I wrestled a little in high school.
Yeah, I played football in high school. Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think Kevin could
Nothing
hold
good
his
happens.
Own, you know. Kevin's,
it was all good fun.
Yeah. Kevin's well-equipped to deal with situations like that. You know, you sent me scrap bacchanalia. Now, that's a term I had not heard before, and I know it probably means something, but... It's an interesting term.
Oh, yeah. So you look it up.
Can mean uninhibited or drunken revelry.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah.
Wow,
yes.
That is
basically what that is.
At Mardi Gras, they have the crew of Bacchus, and that's one of the
even
other
the
ones
even the sheriff's department
rowdy.
Float gets pulled over. It's like that. That's out.
There
that's
really
how
were no
is.
Rules there for a couple of years.
But
remember that?
You love the community down there because you just walk around the neighborhoods and you just pop into random people's houses. They're like, "Come on in. We got three kegs in the kitchen. Totally fine. We got
Jello shot.
We got 30 pounds of corned beef cooking right now. Come on in.
Yeah,
more than
very
half."
Warm.
The people at any house party on that weekend, on that Sunday, more than half the people in any house are not known to the owners of the house.
Right. Nobody really cares.
Right.
It's like, sure, grab a cold one. They're in the back.
Yeah. It really is. It is. It's amazing. That is a true Chicago event.
It is.
And I love the downtown
Beautiful.
Parade because I think, you know, the downtown parade, we have this image, too, of it because it's, you know, it's like, especially in an election year, man. I mean, there's nothing like the St. Patrick's Day Parade downtown in an election year because they're all out there. But the South Side Irish Parade is a special kind of thing. Like in Ireland, they deny it actually happens. They want Ireland is suing to get their name taken off of it.
This is not representing us.
Yeah. As a young Chicagoan who grew up in the Streeterville neighborhood. Now,
the main streets of Streeterville. Yeah.
How were you introduced to the South Side Irish Parade? I mean, how did that come about?
When you
about?
Grow up.
He's very worldly.
That's what we call it.
He seems very knowledgeable about it. That's interesting.
Very.
I've spent more time there recently.
Uh-huh.
But I would say that when I was a kid, I got to know. Somehow, I ended up in school with a bunch of politicians' kids.
I see.
And. And so we would go, you know, if like you wanted to have a play date, we didn't call it that back then.
No.
Because that
City Hall.
Somebody would have gotten hit. You know, what do you mean, play date?
Didn't call it that at all back then.
Yeah, but if you wanted to go to somebody's house, you spent the night or whatever, you know, there was like you'd go out in the neighborhoods because it was always somebody who had something,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was involved.
Some connectivity.
Some commissioner of this or that or, a lawyer for a this or that. And so I got to, you get to know the neighborhoods. I think that's one of the things about the city is that, you know, if you you miss out. If you don't have, I mean, there are obviously a lot of people that can't. Don't necessarily feel safe or want to, can or get encouraged to explore other neighborhoods. But this city is so rich in tapestry in terms of what goes on.
Yep.
So true.
And, you know, you can't find a more, I mean, you got, I'll tell you something.
Ethnically diverse city. It's true.
Well, that's not what I think diverse, but it is. But Mount Greenwood, you go there, and it is like another language is being spoken. It is amazing. The
and you can't keep track of anybody because they all have, there's three names. It's like Jimmy, Timmy, and Pat.
So true. I think Danny's big over there too. I've got a couple of friends named Danny.
Right, and every Tommy. Girl's first name is Mary. Tommy. Now you can only disambiguate because she's Mary Pat, Mary Kate.
Uh-huh.
And if you meet a Maria, it throws everything out. Marie, Mary, Maria. What's her name? I can't remember. I've met her.
You sure it's Marie? It's got to be Mary.
I've met her 400 times.
It's got to be Mary.
It's got to be Mary, right?
It's not
odd,
Marie.
The South Side odds say it's Mary.
Right.
Where's Marie?
It's really true. And the Northwest Side accent is different than the Southwest Side accent.
It is.
Too, which you get to sort of kind of figure it out. And sometimes you've never, you know, it's like the exact same place, and the people have never heard of each other, right? It's like, it's an amazing thing. It's like alternate universes. It's like Bizarro World.
Right.
I love this city. Mm-hmm. I love everything about it, including all, you know, warts and all, and that's why the Southside Irish Parade is the greatest. I'll be down there. I'm pulling over. I'm doing a couple of weeks with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and we're going to pull over the sheriff's police vehicle. And check everybody on board. You know, breathalyze everybody who's there. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom.
We will see you tomorrow.
Ro, you behave yourself when you go there, and I know we'll be hearing a report of that. Yeah, guys, don't blow away tonight, and enjoy the chill tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, won't be here forever. So that's
good. That is very true.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right.
Sweet.
Now it's Ro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. Huh? We are been dealing with the news and the events of the day, and we are here at the United Center. And this is exactly the moment, with approximately 3 hours before puck drop, where everything starts to light up around the stadium, and you start to smell all the food being cooked in the concourse, and
delicious.
All the things happening, and all the bartenders are arriving, separating the limes from the lemons, from the cherries, from the olives.
Do?
Yes.
Once you see the big buckets of ice being brought to all the bars, you know you're getting close to puck drop.
And Chef Mike, who is he's basically our fifth Beatle now. That's what he is on this program.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be the same without him at the United Center.
As is joining us. And now I want to mention this. Now, next week, it's the New Jersey Devils in town on Thursday, the 14th of February. That is Valentine's Day. I don't know if you know that, Mike. That's Valentine's Day, yeah.
It's important to know that.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
Well, this is the second time around, so for 3 years this time around.
For 3 years this time around, okay. Yeah, cumulatively? I like to do it in total numbers. I do it that
12.
Way.
12. I forget the first nine.
Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, so that's I try to work. I do it in 10-year installments. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make to you, Mike, is that it's a day of great romance on Valentine's Day, but people will still want to come to the United Center.
Sure.
And I'm just thinking now, how can you make it a good date night for guys who want to bring their girlfriends or wives to the Hawks game?
Well, it is a little bit of a challenge when you're going to celebrate it with 20,000 plus other people.
It's not so intimate.
Not so intimate, but in the restaurants, we'll do preset meals, Queenie's. There's shrimp and oyster appetizer, then a surf and turf, and then you finish with a nice creme brulee.
Wow.
In suites, you know, if you forgot day.
Let's stick with Queenie's for a second.
Okay.
So anybody can make a reservation. Anybody can go to that, right?
Yes.
And I'm assuming they're still taking reservations for that? Because that seems like that would sell out pretty quickly.
Yeah, they're still taking reservations. So get in early. So you can definitely get a reservation because it'll fill out. Plus,
it starts about, 5:30, 5 o'clock?
Yeah, Queenie's will open 2 hours prior to gates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before the gate opens.
Well, 2 hours before the game. So gates are usually an hour and a half, so they're an extra half an hour.
Okay. And you can enter, you can get into Queenie's by going into the brand new beautiful concourse where the Jordan statue is. It's right there.
Yeah, through the atrium, yes.
Yes, the atrium. What did I say? Yes.
You said the brand new concourse.
I said brand new atrium. That's what I meant.
You've been here a lot.
Yes, I do.
He's walked through that atrium / concourse.
He loves the concourse, though.
Mike has found me face down in the concourse before, like in the middle of the night. Like,
that's
what? Why are you still here? So if you're just going to be in the seats, like heart-shaped pizzas or anything? Can we go? Can we go?
We're not going there with the heart-shaped pizzas. There'll be different pastries available, different desserts. Dessert cart will have heart-shaped cookies, different Valentine, you know, themed cookies.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to do that. You know, in the seats, I would just say in the general areas, just pick a cozy little corner. Do something you're not accustomed to doing, whether it's you get up and go get the food for your significant other.
That's what he meant by that. Okay. I'm like, oh, my God.
Your mind went in different
directions. I didn't go that way.
That's going to make the kiss cam fascinating.
You know, just do something out of your comfort zone that would really impress your significant other.
Just put her first.
Yes.
Right?
Even though the game is important. Because who knows, by then they could still be on this roll that they're on.
Wouldn't that be great?
Well, how about this?
Special. You don't want to jinx them, but.
But we have a pretty good record here.
Yes.
We do.
You know, so we're pretty good at this. It's so weird because for so many years, Hawks fans have been coming into this building well into June to watch hockey. Mm-hmm. And for the last two, it's after April, see ya. Right? The last three, actually. Right?
You're so spoiled that when it doesn't happen, it's like, what?
So,
and it's so nice when it's, 80, 90 degrees outside to walk in here for a hockey game in June, where it's like, 35.
Oh, there's no, it's the best feeling ever.
Yeah.
And you're out there, like, in shorts, and then you come in here and go, oh, I should not have worn shorts.
Because you have to bring your jersey. Because once you get inside, it is going to be chilly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So, all of a sudden now, and this, the least likely, so many years the Hawks were playing well, and then they were, either swept out of the playoffs or whatever the situation was.
Right.
And now this is a team no one expected to be in the playoffs. They could make the playoffs, and I think they're built to make a deep, deep run if they make it. So this is it's very exciting again.
Yes, it is. The vibe is back.
Yeah,
you can feel it in the building
for
sure.
Patrick Kane is playing arguably the best hockey of his life.
And think about that. Yeah. Think about his life.
Think about that statement.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you just got three Stanley Cups.
Right.
And here's a guy that right now everybody in the league is talking about, how do you stop him? Right? And he's on his own sometimes. And he's always been tough to stop on his own. But it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, he's doing amazing things with the scoring. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's great.
And he just keep it going. That's all we can ask for.
Yes, yes, and I think they will.
Yeah.
And then they make the playoffs. But I think next Thursday night, when people show up for Valentine's Day, I expect that the little mini jail that they've got over here is going to be filled up with people who might have been
misbehaving,
got a little too amorous. That's the feeling they've got. And Rocky just changed the seats out in here, and I just don't want any. Please, people, be respectful of the new fabrics.
Well, public service announcement, there are cameras everywhere.
No.
Yes.
Oh, what? So now you tell me.
Everywhere. So, so be careful.
I had a good run here.
Oh, my God. Every once in a while, we have to exit through this one area here, and there's a guy handcuffed to a bench. And you're like, what? And you want to stop. It's like a car accident. You want to stop and look and see, like, and think in your head, like, what? I wonder what the guy did. But then you're like, I'm too cool to do that. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want anybody yelling at me. Hey, move along. So you just gotta kind of move through. All right. In terms of, I noticed that as you guys are getting ready for the summer here. This is so funny because here we are in February and people are already they see all the ads up on all the TVs here and everything for summer concerts that are coming to the United Center. And there's really no downtime ever for you guys.
There really isn't. With this great building, there's always different events. Like last year, we had Laver Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Second time ever, and it was first time in the United States.
Right,
it was incredible.
It was amazing.
I came out for that.
I think it might be the rotation. I'm not 100% sure, but we get Cirque every couple of years too. So eventually, they'll be coming back.
And Cirque is sometimes in the parking lot, though.
Yeah,
right?
They do the tents out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So this is a 12-month arena now. There is, like you said, you might get a couple weeks here and there of downtime. After June. But it stays. It's enough to keep everyone busy, and then you start planning for the new season.
Right.
I mean, once the regular season ends, you're planning for the next season.
Right.
A listener says they're coming for Cher tomorrow. Where should they eat? Is Queenie's open for
Queenie's
all the concerts?
Queenie's is open for Cher tomorrow.
There you go. Perfect spot.
Oh,
so, Carl,
here.
They're filling up pretty quick. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And that's that. I know this is the first season or first year of Queenie's, and it's not on everybody's mind yet, but it is the best option that you have for food in the entire, like, on the west side. Once you get off Randolph Street, it's amazing. It's like,
well, for a stadium, it's outrageous. I mean, it's just, it's such a, it could exist on its own anywhere in the city and just be a phenomenal restaurant. What do you find is the most popular there right now? Is you're sort of figuring out what's what?
I definitely say the prime rib. You know, it's the supper club inspired menu. So that's a big one. The steaks are good sellers there as well. And you know, the fried chicken is actually really, really good.
If you are a, if you're old enough in Chicago, and I'm just kind of barely old enough because I remember this as a kid, there was a place called Eli's. Eli's Cheesecake, of course, came from this the Shulman family. Eli's Place for Steak. It was on Chicago Avenue, east of Michigan Avenue. And it was the place that all, like, it was before there was Gibson's, it was where all of the athletes would go after a game, and Harry Carey made it famous. He would take the umpires out afterwards, and then they'd tell stories about each other. You know, like Harry would tell stories about Harry Wendelstedt getting drunk at the bar, and something that was good. You know, there was always some kind of a an amazing thing, and that restaurant is what Queenie's reminds me of. Mm. It's those kinds of booths and that sort of the lighting and the feeling. And it's an old school Chicago. The way a Chicago supper club, not a Wisconsin supper club, but a
correct.
Chicago supper club was done, where it was a supper club that was really a steakhouse, and that's what it is.
Yeah, and you know, you saying that is great compliments to everybody, because that was the goal,
yeah.
to make everyone have that feeling when they entered there, when they dined there, and then, you know, when they maybe stayed to just have a drink and listen to the piano, and then, you know, moved on.
Oh, Kevin and I accidentally ended up in there a couple times. And, you know, it depends on how the game's going. You end up at the bar a couple times. I got a nice beer. You're sitting there.
You don't miss a thing, too. Right. That's the other part. You see the game.
Yeah. Well, so. That's about, you're done with your dinner, and you're in your seat in 5 minutes.
Right.
Which is awesome. So you're having a great restaurant 5 minutes from your seat.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about stopping somewhere else, parking, eating really fast, jumping back in the car, trying to find parking when you get over here. You get here, you can have a nice, great meal at a nice, calm pace, and then it's game time.
And you don't have to worry about anything. And if you want to wait to go to your seat after the game already starts or whatever it is, you can catch up with the game, and then you go. It's very leisurely. And then if, let's just say things aren't going exactly as planned, you know, on the ice or on the court, you know, you can just kind of meander back over and sort of like, hey, now what are we going to do? And every once in a while, there might be another sport on the TV in there. You just never know. You just never
know. They got everything.
It's a good place to hang out for sure.
Is.
They got their own beer.
Amazing vibe.
Great beer selection.
Yeah.
Great spot.
Yeah, exactly. And then you say, how you doing? You know, there's a lot of that. A lot of that goes on there. And, it's really, and they also, this is like a total Chicago thing, they have an outdoor area that is actually indoors. So you go outside, you think you're outside, you're going out, but you're actually just in the atrium, and you're in a big, like a loggia that is over the atrium. Sort of a balcony, and you look down, and you know, you watch the people staring at the Jordan statue.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Chinese being spoken down there. There's a lot of people speaking Chinese, yelling at the statue and pointing at it and taking a picture.
You would be amazed how many people visit that statue every day.
Oh, my God.
Busloads. It's crazy.
I see it every day. You know, we come in here hours before the game.
Yeah.
In Asia, he's a gigantic star. Still is, right? They love Space Jam.
They re-release it every year.
Right, exactly. They think it's brand new. And there's people, and literally they'll stop, and I would say this happens a couple times, you know, at least once a month to me, where I'll get stopped by tourists from Asia who, and I don't exactly understand, I don't speak any of the languages, but I'm just kind of guessing, and they're showing me a piece of paper, and they're asking, and I know what they're asking.
You know right away.
I know immediately. It's just the Jordan statue, and I just try to lead them, you know, come this way. I will take you to Michael Jordan.
You should learn that in Mandarin.
Yes,
Michael Jordan statue right here.
Japanese, Thai, you know.
That's why the atrium's perfect, because the statue alone drives traffic to part of the stadium. So you build a whole, you know, you build a bar around it, a coffee shop, concessions, everything you need.
Yeah.
They are always way ahead of everything here.
They're great
business people. They figure things out way before everyone else. And you're right, Kevin. To build everything centered around that statue was just amazing.
Oh, yeah. And there's more to come. That's
always
the crazy thing.
Always.
There's more to come. I thought
never stops.
This was like a perfect, what they did is like a perfect solution to, you know, building, and it's beautiful now. It's a campus.
Yeah. Right. They could have stopped three Stanley Cups. What do we need to do, right?
Right.
We give it, but no, every year there's new improvements, how to make the whole experience better. It's unbelievable.
It is.
Exactly. Right now, Liam Neeson's beating up the Michael Jordan statue out in there. Right now, he's got a stick and he's trying to hit
it. This is the number one sports venue in the United States, maybe the world.
You think?
I think so.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Even this is a man from Philadelphia saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got some pretty nice facilities. That you got a whole campus in Philadelphia of for all three sports.
They're all together. Yeah.
And it's
convenient, for sure.
Yeah.
I was back home this weekend.
Oh.
So we kind of went by. We didn't.
They're still in mourning over there? Over by there?
How's Elshon Jeffrey doing?
See, I'm not going to say anything.
You're going to lose.
The bear game.
You'll lose.
Yeah.
So
that's not a thing to get into.
Just saying, he dropped the pass and lost.
Just saying. I mean, that was it. I mean, it went right through his hands. Yeah. I know
that was ugly.
I know he was visiting a school before and he got chalk on his hands, and that's why it went right through or whatever. You know, he's like Mr. Philadelphia citizen now, but whatever. It is what it is.
What me and my son did, we actually, at my sister's house, rewatched the game.
Why would you do that?
Well, because now I can say I watched the Super Bowl in Philly when they won.
Oh, you watched the Super Bowl.
I rewatched the Eagles Super Bowl
game. Oh, God. I thought you were watching the game where they lost.
No.
That's ridiculous.
So I can say now I was in Philly when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just right, a year later, but.
There you go.
Were you in Philly when Elshon dropped the pass?
I was here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Don't ask him about that. But it does make me all feel better because he came down and was all, you know, kind of giving us the business about the Bears.
I remember.
Yeah.
Actually, you weren't. You were being very nice. But
I was.
Sort of
Rowe was inviting me on prior to the game. So if the Eagles lost, he was going to give me the business.
Okay, so you got me right. That's exactly what happened. All right, Chef, thank you very much.
You're
Chef
welcome.
Mike from the
Always
United
a pleasure.
Center is here. Thank you, sir. Brokaw Show with Anna DeWantis right here on 720 WGN.
Live from the United Center.
That's right.
Hawks on a roll.
Hawks taking on the Canucks tonight. And this is they're almost wins now. I think we could all agree on that. But this is as must-win as a must-win can be. And it's a ton of fun what's happening here at the UC, Kevin Powell.
Big game. Big game. A win over the Canucks tonight. And they're just 1 point out of the wild card. Everyone keeps yelling at me, don't jinx it. We're not jinxing anything. We're just letting you know the Blackhawks are back.
Yeah.
And the games are relevant. They carry a lot of weight. They had a couple losing streaks this season that weren't so fun. But right now, this is the biggest game I've felt here at the United Center in a long time. This one matters a lot. And they all do the rest of the way.
Well, you remember at the beginning when Coach Colleton took over and, Ro, you told him you got to win? Was that your advice?
No. I explained to him what's important here, Coach, is that at the end of the game, you have scored more goals than the other team.
Yeah,
which is key.
Important.
And I think that message is finally resonating with guys like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. So I think you've done something special here, Ro.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'd like to
sprinkled some magic dust.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank. I thought it was a simple thing that they were overlooking.
Right.
Yeah. And now it's okay.
It's a simple thing sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it is. All right, are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. We will do exactly that. Checking in at
number five.
You know, this young lady has only been in Congress for a little over a month, and I'm already sick of her. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, as she's known, called on Congress to defund the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency at an emotional press conference today. The young New York Democrat called Trump's claim that he wanted more legal immigration a lie, pointing to the president's policies geared at reducing immigration and targeting immigrants.
The president said something. He said and spoke of the idea that he likes, quote unquote, legal immigration. But that is a lie. The president does not like any form of immigration. He has been cutting down and imposing restrictions on legal forms, on the diversity visa lottery, on family reunification, and so on. He's ending TPS. He's ending DACA protections for Dreamers. And in doing so, he is taking away the documented status of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Americans.
Now, I actually don't disagree with her on what she just said there. I just don't like the fact that she wore a cape to the State of the Union address, and she has become the face of this, and she wants to defund ICE. That's a bad idea. That's not going to do anybody any good. There still have to be rules.
There's still a border.
There has to be enforcement. There has to be customs. There's a lot of things that go on here. It's not as simple as that. Please don't. I would hate to see more politicians on either side fall into this vortex of misinformation. And they're doing it. Don't do that. Tell the truth. Now, you're not wrong about what you said there. Because those are that happens to be all true, that there's a pushback against this. I mean, the irony was he closed the door on basically, you know, chain migration right after he got Melania's parents in. Which was,
you
I thought,
them all.
Yeah, I thought was a little, I thought it's a little too close to true, and that was what happened.
Yeah. Oh, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, though, was also making news for her green plan today, her New Deal. And she says that every building in America should be retrofitted for new energy controls, and that we should envision a day very soon when there are no planes, cars, and rebuild every building.
Oh, what are we going to do with a plane? How am I going to get places?
You're on your bike, Ro. You love bikes.
My bike to California?
Yeah.
It's going to really ruin your world.
I know. It takes a while. But at least you won't be polluting the environment and creating all these toxic emissions.
See?
She's kind of exhausting.
She's
like Lisa from The Simpsons. She wants to like attack every single issue in America at the same time.
She is exhausting. I mean, she looks great in the cape, right?
She's
showed up
She's
in the cape, and you're like,
she got elected. It's incredible, you know.
It's pretty cool. But and she does seem of the people more so than most of the people in Congress.
I don't believe any of those people are of the people.
Well,
I never believe any of that.
I think comparatively, if you look around Congress, this new group is more representation.
She is not a flatulent old man, which most of Congress is. I understand that.
But you're right. The proposals, it feels like she should probably just like sort of, I don't know, just kind of take her time with this stuff. You know, take her time.
When you look at like when Trump is speaking and all the people lined up in back of him, it looks like an ad for some sort of a drug. And there should be warnings of, you know, excessive flatulence and all the other things.
4 hours, see a doctor.
Right, exactly. Do you have a not strong stream?
Oh.
If you do.
Oh, wow.
All right, checking in at
number 4.
During a debate hosted by Crane Chicago Business and WGN Radio last night, Tony Preckwinkle, or as Willie Wilson calls her, Tony Preckwinkle, found herself on the receiving end of a number of opponents' political shots, from her status as a leader of the Cook County Democratic Party establishment to her ties with embattled Alderman Ed Burke. He faces attempted extortion charges amid an ongoing federal investigation. I don't know if you people heard about that. So this is Anna hosted this last night.
I did.
And here was some
fiery
of the action.
With due respect, Madam President, you took those actions only after the red hot glare of publicity was shown on you. And only after I called for you to do it, you took weeks to even acknowledge that you got the money. And then, frankly, you threw on Ann Burke under the bus. And then you said it was her,
Ann
not her husband.
Ann Burke has been a colleague.
But you
in our
know that a
justice
running
reform
for re-election cannot solicit money. And the invitation to that fundraiser was Chairman Burke.
All right, let's give Tony Perkins the last word, and then we have to move on.
Say again.
You know, Ann Burke was an ally in our efforts to pursue criminal justice reform, and an invaluable ally, and offered to have a fundraiser at her house, and I accepted. As I said, I've returned all the money from the fundraiser, and I've taken the strongest stands against Ed Burke.
That Tony Perkins.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's fascinating because there is a lot of distancing going on. She did take the checks, and it did take her some time to give them back.
I don't know that she's has she fully given them back.
I don't think she has.
I think they were talking about the end of March or something.
Yeah, that she will give it back pretty much after the election was the last we heard from the Preckwinkle campaign. So it's just maybe
Willie should give her a loan to get the money back, and then you know
it was interesting when we asked the question, if not you, who else would you vote for mayor on the panel? And several of the candidates made the point, look. Those who got in after Mayor Emanuel got out, they were trying to make the case that those are the people that are the most connected and that they shouldn't be in the race. And Lori Lightfoot, who we just heard from right there, was one of those. They're trying to connect those dots.
Bill Daley took some shots last night, too.
I'm the one candidate up here who knows how to navigate the ins and outs of getting legislation passed in Springfield more than anybody else. And that will be an important skill set to have in your next mayor. I've also, as I said earlier, managed the state through the worst fiscal crisis in its history and been able to take on a governor who is intent on hurting our finances, a governor that actually one of my candidates here, Mr. Daley, was the chairman of his transition committee. We don't need more of that. We need to actually focus on the problems of this city. And it's not like passing, you know, selling off assets like our parking meters, but actually putting the people of Chicago first.
At that point, Bill Daley looked at us, the moderators, and said, whoa, I got to get in on that. I got to respond to that because, obviously, he didn't like the sound of it. But he's been sort of, his answer was, look, in politics, you have to join forces with Rauner and say, look, we're going to put it all behind us, the BS, he called it, of the past, and just say, I'll be part of the new moving forward.
Right. He was the designated Democrat on the transition team. Wasn't like he jumped in as a Republican. He jumped in as a Democrat.
Right.
On
that's
that
right.
Team. That's, he made that point last night.
Yeah.
So. I didn't want to talk more about Tony Preckwinkle.
Willie did say if he was going to vote for someone else for mayor, he would change his name in the Chicago way and vote for himself. Just in case you wondered.
Checking in at
number three.
Jenny got a gun.
Oh, that's a nice story.
It is. It's nice to see a celebrity not doing an apology tour, but doing something really great.
Well, Steven Tyler has spent close to 40 years on an apology tour, so it's
true.
Nice of him to stop, take enough time.
Balance it out a little bit.
And he did a scarf cutting today, because he only wears scarves, right? For Janie's House, which is in Bartlett, Tennessee. And what it is, a newly renovated house located on 82 acres of the Villages campus there. And it'll be home to 14 girls that at any time, with 24-hour support, it houses up to 26 to 30 girls each year. And what this is for young women who have faced abuse and neglect
right.
in their lives.
And if you listen to some of their stories, they're heartbreaking. And this really seems to be a way for them to get help. It seems like an amazing organization.
Yeah. So I want to congratulate Steven Tyler.
Yes.
One of the greatest rock stars of all times, by the way. One of the greatest frontmen. He's the top, definitely a top five frontmen in the history of rock and roll.
Mm.
No question about it.
And he's doing good on the side.
Checking in at
number two.
Last night, as her album DNA sat at number one in the Billboard album chart, Backstreet Boys returned to Las Vegas to start what will be the final series of dates in their larger-than-life residency at Planet Hollywood's Zappos Theater. AJ McLean credits the Vegas show for reinvigorating the group's career.
It really has reminded people of the true legacy of you know, Backstreet Boys. I feel like we've gained a lot of new fans that might have been a little on the fence, and now are like, oh, yeah, they had that song and then that song, and wow, these guys still look good, they still sound good, they're still dancing, and they're in their 40s.
Why does he sound like my grandfather when he's doing
that? He does sound old.
So the boys were getting back together. It's all of us with the boyfriends. We're all going to be singing. We're going to be dancing. We look good.
We can still dance. We still can
dance. Who can dance? I can dance. I have a little problem with my hip.
Yeah. No,
but I've got it worked out.
They got some, you know, they got some things that can help that to make you still dance. They still have the same hairstyles, too. Have
if,
you noticed?
If you want help with your hip, Dr. Berger in Chicago, he's excellent. We should go. While you're there, you should stop by Manny's, maybe have some schmear. It's like when all of a sudden he did. He became an old man out of nowhere.
But they look very much the same as they did, and the hair is the same
with Chance. is excellent. Mm-hmm. That Doritos commercial that they did. Now, but it's because Chance was excellent in it. And he did make them look a little... He made them look younger by association, I think is what was going on there.
Love the Backstreet Boys.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I should be voting for Trump. I don't know. All right. And finally...
Number one.
Candace Payne, a 34-year-old real estate developer from Auburn Gresham, who spearheaded an effort to get hotel rooms for more than 100 homeless people during Chicago's brutal cold snap last week, appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Mm.
She said her boyfriend was once homeless and was able to book. She was able to book 30 rooms at the Amber Inn after many hotels turned them down, but she couldn't transport everybody to the rooms herself, so she posted on social media.
I'm in real estate, so I can use my passion for real estate to help house the homeless. So I'm buying multi-units, and I'm rehabbing them. I'm buying distressed multi-units, rehabbing them, and I'm going to house the homeless. And hopefully, you know, others will jump on the bandwagon and help.
I decided during the break, I made a phone call, and I called Walmart, and I asked them to give you another $25,000.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? She gave her $50,000. Ellen handed it over to her, had seen her story and the good work she had done here during the frigid cold weather.
Right.
It's just beautiful.
Exactly.
All the Ellen shows, though, somebody tells the story and then she goes, okay, I made a phone call.
Just during the break. During the break.
That's what she does.
Yeah, but it is not what she did. Her producers make the phone call.
Oh, she can do that.
I made a phone call and everyone's getting Corvettes.
Yeah. That's all it takes with Ellen. She just snaps her fingers.
Made a phone call, you're getting a private jet.
Right. And she doesn't have to do the Oprah thing where she's telling you, you're getting a Corvette and you're getting a Corvette.
That's her version of, I made a phone call.
Yeah.
Now let's dance in the stands.
Yes.
She doesn't do that exaggerated way of saying it. She does. Full of heart.
She moves really well for a 60-year-old.
She does.
Talk about dancing. She can dance with the Backstreet Boys.
Right. She moves better than the Backstreet Boys because they've got hip problems.
Turns out they're kind of old for 40-year-olds.
Also, I got irregular heartbeat.
Yeah.
I made a phone call, got your new heart.
My fire, the one.
Made a phone call, got you guys new hips.
I got a little bit of fun. Hold on a second here.
Doesn't sound the same. Too much yogurt today.
That's right. I've got the little bit of the runs.
Too much fiber.
There is bathroom break at the Backstreet Boys concert. It's hold on, I've got to go to the bathroom. It's number one, but it could still take me half an hour.
What are those we'll be right back clocks? We'll be back in 30 minutes.
It's like I'm peeing in Morse code. All right.
Jeez.
Let's you know what? Let's close this up.
The top five at five.
And we are here in the concourse at the beautiful Goose Island Pub.
Mm-hmm.
Right outside, 110, 111? Or no, I'm sorry, 108, 109. 108, 109.
And they've given out these awesome hats here today. First 10,000 fans get these, like the Winter Classic style, black and white, cool hats.
Yes.
Keep your head warm.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're really, really great.
Awesome.
And now we always like to talk to people who have played the game, who are legends in the end of themselves, and we are none other than Brian Campbell who's joining us. Now, can I call you Soupy? Am I allowed to call you that?
You are now, yes.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm always a little worried about that.
No,
and by the way, I think we have found in the hockey nickname world, the game of creating hockey nicknames.
Great nicknames.
Yours is one of the very few creative ones, right? Everybody else is just an I, E, or an S
correct.
On the end of anybody else's name.
Right. Yeah.
Or
Kaner.
ER. There's ER.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do see that a lot. So at least mine's different. Everybody asks me, do you like it? And I'm like, well, there's a lot worse out there that people could call you.
For sure.
So,
and you guys have your own private nicknames for each other, too, which is it can be a separate sort of situation.
Correct.
Isn't that correct?
Those don't get public.
Yeah.
No.
Which I like the fraternity of these guys, that they don't really let that stuff get out. And I also like, one of my favorite stories of hockey, an old-time guy told me about what happens, like, in the playoffs at the end of a series, and you guys all have to do the handshake line, the kinds of things that are said in the handshake line between some of the players.
I can only imagine.
It's just it's a ton of fun. You guys, it's a great fraternity. Look at how quiet
he's not nodding. He's been told
very,
from the media
very
relations.
Stoic during that. All
that's
right.
On you, Ro.
As a defenseman,
as a legendary defenseman. Let's talk a little bit about the turnaround the Hawks have made here over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, actually since the first of the year, the Hawks have been playing so much better than they were, coming up to the holiday break for them and before the game at Notre Dame. Do you see a difference sort of in the back line there? What are you seeing?
Well, I think there's a lot of confidence right now, and I think that comes from obviously at that time when Jeremy came in, it's he had to kind of find out what he had and what he liked, and then obviously a few guys get called up and different roles for players, and I think the six that play, depending on which night, they kind of define their roles right now, and I think there's a lot of confidence in those roles, and there's not a lot of changing in and out of those roles. So I think you look at, for instance, Dahlstrom. I really think he's come along. He's right from the get-go, Jeremy's believed in him and the coaching staff, and that goes a long way as a player. And it's with anything. If you know that your coach believes in you and wants to see the best out of you and put you in situations to succeed, then it elevates your game. And
so
I think,
describe that. Is the game getting slower for him? He's seeing things?
Things
develop?
It can be slower. He's had a couple tough games, but the next game,
for him to see.
Correct.
So he's making a decision.
I think he's out of the lineup actually tonight, but I feel like he's played really, really well for this hockey club, and it can be a staple for a while on the back end. But I think, it slows down for him, but when you go out and make a mistake, it's the next shift, he's right back out there in the same situation. And sometimes when you have a tough game, it can be the coach just saying, hey, I believe in you, and keeps putting them back in those situations. And I think Jeremy's seeing the fruits of what's gone on with the hockey club now. Yes, correct.
There's also belief in the coach, I think, that's happening here. Because when Carlton came on at first, you didn't expect him to sprinkle any magic dust on this team, but they were in a slump, right? And now they've won five straight, could win another one. He said, trust the process. He kept just telling it, trust the process. I know this is I'm a new coach. We have a new system in place. And it pays off.
Yeah, the thing I look at Jeremy and you see his press conferences is he's got a lot of confidence in himself, and I think any coach in the NHL has to have confidence in what they're putting out there, what they're telling their players, and I feel like he has that. And you look at the situation he walked into,
it's hard,
replacing
right?
a Hall
difficult.
Of Famer,
oh.
And guys that have been around here for a while, and then to try to believe in him. But I think he got them on board pretty quick with that, and guys believe in what he's teaching them and have accepted it and want to do their best. At the end of the day, the guys that have been here a while and that won the Stanley Cups, they're professionals, and there's a reason why they won those Stanley Cups.
Right.
So they've really believed in what they're doing. They're learning, and it took a little time, and now we can see it with the win streak, how they're playing, and you look at the power play and the success that's had.
Right. How crazy is that?
Yeah. It's the success of, it kind of let these five guys, this is your unit, here you go. And then now they've run with it. But if it wasn't going to work, then it didn't work. But we'll maybe give you 5-10 games to see if you can get it going. And they have.
Yeah. You played with Patrick Kane. And you play, obviously, Kane and Taves. But Patrick Kane is having a season probably unlike any other he's ever had, including the three Stanley Cup runs.
Yeah, if the Hawks make the playoffs, he has to be the MVP, I think, of the league, personally.
Yeah.
I see that in him. If they can get in and get that playoff spot, he has been, I was talking to somebody the other day. It's like, who would you trade Patrick Kane for? And the answer is probably nobody.
Right.
I truly believe the way he's brought this team along and found ways to keep pushing, and obviously the stats that he's been putting up, he's already passed, I think, last year's total. It's unbelievable each and every night. I think he didn't have a point in the outdoor game, but that was, if you take that game away, which I find outdoor games are hard to play and you're kind of all out of sync, his point streak is even longer. So it's just he dedicates himself so much off the ice and in the summertime to getting better. And it's not just the training, it's also watching his film and seeing how he can execute better on the ice.
And Taves has surpassed his point total already from last season. We still have 28 games to go. When he's playing well on the offensive side of the puck, along with Kane, Of course, they're the leaders of the team, but how much does that help the entire team? When you see the two leaders of this team playing so well and scoring so much, it's got to be a motivating factor for everybody else.
Well, yeah, it definitely is a motivating factor. I think it they've definitely taken a lot of pressure off the rest of the lineup. But I think with Johnny, when he's attacking guys one-on-one, and you saw it throughout the whole season, he had maybe a couple-week stretch where he wasn't finding the back of the net as much, but he's really been attacking guys one-on-one and making extra moves to get around them, and he's been skating well throughout a whole season. And the amount of minutes those guys play, too.
Right.
Those guys have played a lot of minutes, especially Kane has played. And to keep that level up that he's been playing at with those minutes is not easy for a forward.
Well, and you think about the minutes that these guys have played in total ice over in the last decade,
yeah.
Right, over their career, because you've got the Olympics, you've got other stuff that's and a number of playoff appearances and things like that. I mean, you find and that it does take a toll on your body. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I think I agree with you in some ways with that, but when they strive to be the best, and you know, you look at a couple shorter runs like right now, I feel like they're energized, they're ready to go this season.
They don't want to be sitting around in April.
No, it's right? Exactly. So, you know, I think that's why you put the time in the off season, and that just means so much to these young guys to watch them and to learn.
Yeah, the matchup tonight, feeling pretty good. Canucks have lost two straight, Hawks winners of five. What are we going to see tonight?
Yeah, it's my only thing with the Hawks is they flew back yesterday from Edmonton. It's just they've been traveling quite a bit lately, so it's hopefully when you come home that there's no lull. And I think
it's the green drink, the green juice.
It's right? Got to be the green drink, the one we can never learn the ingredients
right,
of.
Exactly.
Does it taste good?
Yeah, it does taste good.
It does taste good. It is better here than is at any other stadium.
It
any
totally
other
is.
Who's going to do it? You know that you've got that. Let's talk about something. I hope that they offer this for the green drink because it is worth the price of admission to do this. The Legends Cup. Listen to this. It's a Blackhawks fantasy cup. Camp. And this is March 22nd through the 24th at the NB Ice Arena, and you and your buddies, whoever you know played, you know these guys go, yeah, I played a little hockey, I haven't been in the NHL except I blew up my knee. Those guys, right?
Yeah.
And these guys who
no comment,
right? These guys
you
were,
know these guys
who are playing at Johnny's Ice House and all that. It's 4 o'clock in the morning,
days.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of them are television anchors, and
oh.
You know that's what goes on. They come down, they go, yeah, I can do it, no big deal. This is an opportunity. Listen to this. You get to play with it's what is it, 4 days, right? That you do this 22nd, 23rd,
3 day, 4 team tournament,
yeah.
Right? 4 team tournament. And you get to learn from these celebrity coaches and alumni of the Blackhawks.
Nice.
Dennis Savard, Chris Chelios, Jamal Mayers, Ben Eager, Scott Foster, and Brian Campbell. You get to call him Soupy out there, too. Or Soup.
Yeah,
depends.
Yeah.
It's up to you. However you want to do it.
Yeah, it'll be fun to get on the ice. They asked me if I wanted to coach or play, and I'm like, I definitely want to play. I don't want to be behind the bench.
How hard do you go? Do you like to school some of these guys that think, you know, I could have been playing in the NHL?
You got to turn it up later in the game, but...
Yeah. Just to make sure.
Put a guy in his place if he's not a little too hard on everybody.
You still got to win.
That is a shot across Rob Johnson's bow. That's what that is. There's a young man right there that might, you know, he's a television anchor. He doesn't want to get his teeth knocked out, but it could happen. It can happen. You're guaranteed to compete in 4 games. And this is just like a dream come true for people. You get hockey gear, personalized home and away jerseys, socks, gloves, pants, and a helmet. Right? I mean, this is this is so worth the price of admission. And you get to play in the NBA arena ice, which is where the team now hangs out.
You get to play with some of the greats,
right?
Too. Think about that.
You get a 4-night hotel stay, transportation to all the camp events. It's just a super,
what
super, super cool thing. Go to Blackhawks.com/Legends Cup for that. Now, you just also have to wonder if there are guys who come out to these things. Have you ever done an alumni thing like this before?
No, I haven't done anything like this yet, no.
You know, in baseball, this is a big deal, like baseball fantasy camps and
yes.
Things like that. They don't do it in the NFL because guys would die. But in in baseball, they do it. And I've talked to players who, like, there's always a guy who comes out there who's like, yeah, I was going to play for Arizona State. But And they just – and the thing is that they want to – pitchers especially –
They go, really? You think you can hit this?
Yeah.
Right? And even if a guy is 10 years past or 20 years past, they can still, you know, you're still throwing 88 miles an hour. And it's like civilians have never seen anything like that. Same kind of deal here.
Yeah, I might be wearing a full mask for that one. I don't need an errant stick coming at me. But, yeah, I think... you know, you'll hear some stories, and then maybe you have to turn it up a little bit do some things out there. But I don't know. It's going to be fun just to be talking, and I'm sure people will be having some words to say from the bench and everything else.
Oh, that'll be good. Oh,
it'll be. It's just it's a perfect kind of weekend to have and with everybody, and you know, you don't have to go to sleep too early at night, and you can still see how you play the next day.
I see where you're going with that. I think we may have some players throughout the history of the NHL, especially in the older era of the NHL,
sure.
When there were guys who were still drunk on the ice. I think I know some of them. I won't mention their names, Gene Konkorab. What is going to be fun to me is the guys who are going to play goalie.
Yes.
Right. And they've never said, especially, and you're going to come down, you're going to show them a little, the difference between some of their compatriots, guys that are their office mates that they've come into this thing with, and what a true NHL player can actually do.
Yeah, I wish I had a harder shot, but
trust me, it's hard enough.
Yeah, that's correct.
I don't think it's going to be. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't even have to be. Other guy's going to be winding up on a slap shot, and your wrister is going to just. Yeah. It's going to whistle past their ear.
It'll be kind of almost like it could be. A lot of times you watch adult hockey, and it's almost like the 1980s how you score on a goalie. Like you just put it along the ice, along the side of their pad, and it goes in. So
yeah.
If you watch some of the old films of the NHL, it turns back the clock a little bit.
Yes, it does. And I want you to do the full Ogie Oglethorpe thing to the guy when you stand up against the line. You know, some guy, just show him the stick.
Yeah.
You know, he once took a guy's eye out. The stick. All right, Brian Campbell, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks,
people,
Brian.
Can, again,
thank
if they want to take part in this, it's really, really cool. Go to the Blackhawks website and then just look up Legends Cup in that. And it's people want to take part. It's really totally worth it. Broadcast from the United Center for the Hawks take on the Vancouver Canucks, brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO.
Live from the United Center, here we are.
Yes, it's very busy now.
It is.
Here at the Goose Island Pub. And Bodie, because he gets
they
his own.
They just want to come inside right now.
Because the rain?
Yeah.
Or whatever you call it.
I heard you and Tom speaking earlier.
Yes. It was scary outside.
It was hurting.
I was
his
on the
skin.
Corner of Madison and Ashland listening to you guys. There was nothing going on, nothing dropping, and all of a sudden a sheet of sleet.
You didn't believe us.
My car out of nowhere.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I mean, there's some serious stuff out here, Chris.
Was it prickly? Did it hurt?
Yes, it was prickly. That was the thing that hurt.
I was enclosed at that time, and then by the time I got to the parking lot, it was fine. So
right. And we just don't know. But now there's going to be howling winds, according to Tom Skilling.
I'm more interested in hearing about the Southside Irish Parade exploits of one Kevin Powell, though.
Oh, it was nothing serious.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a wrestling match on the sidewalk on Western Avenue. What's wrong with that?
It was a wrestling match in public at a parade.
And he has scars that are permanent on his hands to prove it.
Battle wounds.
They used to, in the Southside Irish Parade, one of the festivities on the side was the projectile vomiting contest.
Who could go
the furthest, yeah.
It's like beanbags.
Right. And by the way, the interesting thing is it starts at 95th and it goes to 111th. Uh-huh. And by the time they get to about 101st, it turns into a crawl. There's people actually crawling on all fours down the parade route on Western Avenue.
As a Southsider myself, I tried going there once. I lasted maybe, and not because of any bad behavior or anything, but mm-hmm. I lasted maybe a half hour, an hour. It's time to go. Okay, time to get out.
You know when to get out.
It's all about the kids now. It's all very
which was
calm.
What my goal at the time was, and I found out that
yeah.
wasn't the case.
But it turns out, but now it is all about that. But I feel like this year, because the Southside Irish Parade is going to be on St. Patrick's Day itself,
yeah.
I think that all, like, it's Katie bar the door. And it would be Mary Katie bar
Mary
the door
Kate.
Down there. Because
Mary Pat, Mary yeah. Kate, Pat, Mary, mm-hmm.
Mary Ann,
Francis, yes.
Jimmy, Timmy, Tommy.
Yeah.
They're all part-time contractors, and cops are firemen.
Maybe it was the Powell incident that happened that was the final straw for me the one year I did try.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's when you find out that the Ford F-150 is the most popular car in America, is when you're down in Mount Greenwood.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. And you're like, south side. Yeah. Everybody's got, where on the south side, where are you from?
Grew up in Burbank.
Okay.
And have stayed south side all my life. We have a place down here now, but still have a house in the southern suburbs, so... That's me.
South side.
That's right. It's very, it's, you know, actually, what's really, who was it? Which one of these mayoral doofuses wanted to annex? Oh, it's Gary McCarthy. Wants to annex other, like,
suburbs and other areas into the city to try to get the taxes.
Anybody ask the suburbs if they wanted to?
They did,
to
and a couple of them said absolutely no.
So I was thinking.
We're not interested. River Forest, no.
Right.
Thank you.
Oaklawn. That seems like, Oaklawn seems like an automatic right there. And just imagine Evergreen Park. Because Evergreen Park, speaking of down there, you have no idea where you are when you're in Evergreen Park. And the only way you know is by looking at the street sign to see if there's a tree on it.
Yeah. All the Burbank neighbors, Oaklawn, Evergreen Park, they're, right there.
You want to get annexed into the city, Chris?
No. And I'm farther out now, so hopefully I'm out of
Gary's
reach.
But they can draw the lines. You've seen the maps for the districting. You can cross, you can go down up a highway and... crossroads.
Although Robbins already volunteered. So that I don't think
not sure that's what McCarthy had in mind.
Yeah, I don't think that is what happened. But it was
that's Harvey.
This is right. No, Harvey wouldn't do it. Now Harvey's very, very proud. Very they're self determined. Robbins, on the other hand, Phoenix, those towns are like, no, we're in.
Taking bids.
We're in. Hey, all right, let's talk a little bit before you get to your you gotta run upstairs and get ready for the Hawks pregame show. But this is very exciting, man.
It's all
of a sudden out of nowhere. The Hawks are alive, and it's one of those things where, we, you know, as Hawks fans, we anticipate that they're always going to be in it, and they really put themselves in such a tough spot this year.
Yeah, this is nice, and when you consider this team went through 2 8-game losing streaks from the end of
October
all the way up until mid December, to be able to have the resiliency to they're still 3 games. Below 500, they are still at the bottom of the Central Division. You know, they're still seventh in the wild card standings, but you only see 3 points separating that. There are reasons to doubt it, but I think there are as many reasons to be optimistic about it. And this is going to be a pretty important game tonight because earlier today at the morning skate, I don't think Jeremy Colleton was liking the way things were going in terms of effort. And, you know, when you start to have some success... maybe you take your foot off the gas a little bit. And this was the first time we saw him kind of get a little vocal with the guys.
Wow.
And he stopped at morning skate, gathered them all around. One of the used audible words he used was dog. So where that falls, I don't...
In English.
I don't think they were talking about Lassie or Toto. What's your preference?
But doesn't that kind of show you that he's starting to have confidence in himself and starting to earn the trust of the players? Nobody does that unless you at least have some sense that the players are buying into what you're selling.
Exactly. And I think... I don't know if that's ever necessarily been an issue. I just think this team was more in shock over what happened on November 6th, and it took them forever to kind of get over that mentally and adjust to the new things that Jeremy was trying. But now, I think because they've had a little bit of the 5-game winning streak, 12-6-4 since mid-December, since that second 8-game losing streak, the fact that he has proof in his back pocket allows him to be a little bit more bold with these players too, as well. Even though he's only 34 years old, he's got a couple guys who are older than him. There's some proof in the pudding there for him now.
Yeah.
Brian Campbell said if the Hawks make the playoffs, there's no question, and if Patrick Kane continues to play the way he is, there's no question Kane should be MVP.
He should be. I mean, considering where the depths of where this team has been this year and what he's done, he has 50 points over the last 20 games or something like that. It's just absolutely out of this world. And, you know, he has just leaped over some of the other guys in the point standings. And the individual stuff, you know, isn't as necessarily important. But the impact he has had on the players around, along with Taves and DeBrincat, they've all had real solid seasons. I mean, that trio in particular, you know, along with a couple of pickups that Stan has made along the way, and Dylan Strom and Drake Kajula, you know, they're starting to find their feet under them, but 88's the biggest reason why.
You know, it's funny because actually the other things, and I can call him Soupy, he allows me to do that. How Brian Campbell said to us too is that, you know, they're coming back from Edmonton, they've been on the road a lot. This is a late night flight, and then so the morning skate this morning. If they are dogging it a little bit. Jeremy's words, not mine, because they would hit me in the face if I said that to them. You get the sense that, you know, he's got to get them. They got to win everything now. They have to walk into every game. I know every team thinks, you know, they walk into every game that they want to win the game. But it's they really have to win. They got, what, 29 games left, I think, now?
28.
Okay. So they, I think they can lose or not get a point in no more than five of those games to make the playoffs.
They put themselves in that position with what happened earlier in the season. And yeah, Jeremy is still, even after the morning skate, and he was asked about that, and I think John asked him too as part of our pregame show. If it doesn't happen tonight, it's not the end of the world, and at least they put themselves in position where, you know, one loss at 3 points out of that second wild card isn't going to mean the end of the world, but it's still pretty darn important, and you better make up for it real quickly
right,
here.
Every day.
Going up against a team tonight, another one of these teams, they trail this upcoming schedule. They play now 5 of 6, 7 of the next 9 at home, where they have not been as good as they have been on the road this season, which is kind of unique. So, and a bunch of these games are coming up against a lot of the teams they're battling it out with.
Corey Crawford has been getting some on-ice work, not necessarily officially practicing with the team, but still, you know, 25, 30 games left. Any shot you think we'll see Crawford back in net?
Yeah, I mean, it still seems like it's a pretty slow process. And I think the good part about that now is that the other two guys who have taken over have really played well of late. So it's not a rush situation. As long as Cam Ward, who I think has something like a 940 save percentage over his last three starts, he's been tremendous. And Colin Dealey, except for maybe a little bit of a bumpy game against Washington here a couple of weeks ago, he's proven that he can take the workload as well and be reliable. He gets another chance tonight. So,
and it's a big difference, Chris, in being a starter. Because I know I play a little hockey. I know. I'm going to go to the Legends game.
Yes. Yeah. Damn knee injury.
No problem. But it's a big difference between being a starter and you know, seeing those reps every night. The game slows down a lot for you there. Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things when Cam Ward was coming up and into this thing, he was coming in every fourth or fifth game. Mm-hmm. Now that he's there every night, I think you're seeing an incredible production out of him because he's a wily veteran, right? Yeah. He knows what to look for on the ice.
Yeah, and I think it's still a process where they still want to give Delia enough time. If they had fallen out of the race, you'd probably even see Delia even more right now.
Yeah, probably.
For him to prove himself and that, you know, he might potentially, you know, take the reins on the goaltender job down the road. But, you know, both of them have done really well.
Yeah. To have hockey games that are of consequence right now is a good thing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it's almost mind-blowing from where we were sitting there back in December.
Well, we haven't been in a magnitude of this game here. Look, opening night's amazing and all that, but we're late in the season here. They got to make moves. We haven't had a game like this in a long time here.
Yeah, and part of the reason for that, too, is everyone kind of expected the West to be as elite as it's been and deep as it's been over the course of the last couple of seasons. You might even argue over the course of the last decade or so.
Sure. Yeah.
That's not been the case. The top two teams in each division, they're starting to find some separation, but the rest of the conference has also kind of come back to the Blackhawks, and that's certainly helped their cause.
I like that about Vancouver. I like when Vancouver sucks.
All it takes, you know, is a hot or cold week or two for any of these teams, and it changed the whole perspective.
We need six of them to have that, but whatever. Right. All right, let me quickly, think about a coaching change. It is interesting because you can tell that when Jeremy Colleton got the call, there are a lot of Hawks fans going, who, what, where, why, what? And you see the difference. I hate to be comparative here because, you know, we all love the Chicago Bulls and we want great things for them. But you see the difference between a coach that's being accepted by his locker room and a coach that is not.
Right? True.
And how important that is, and how you just have placeholders, and I'm not sure that the Bulls really were going for that with just a placeholder. It was really unclear, but it's, and I know they're very different sports, and you need a much smaller squad in basketball than there is in hockey and all that. But still, totally different energy, and so I think that the Hawks have something to build on. I don't think you're going to see a coaching change next year for the Hawks.
No, and Jeremy signed for 2 more years after this, and I think when you compare the two as well, there have been some. Yeah, you know, I have friends over there and know John Paxson a little bit, but there have just been some head-scratching, puzzling moves that they've made from above even the coaching aspect of things. Some people scratching their heads over the move that they made even last night. But they also do not have in their locker room guys like Taves and Kane and Seabrook and Keith to kind of hold it all together and that other players might look to.
Right.
Okay, are we going to buy into this guy or not? And hats off to those guys and the other veterans who have won Stanley Cups here, not to reject Jeremy outright. They knew him a little bit from training camps the last couple of years, but the way they accepted it, even though they were in shock and bewilderment, I'm sure, for a while,
yeah,
the way they decided to buy in and accept that, I think that speaks measures, too.
All good. Bodie, get upstairs, would you?
I'll do that.
Go,
thanks.
Go up there. Chris Bowden, you can hear him coming up in about half an hour right here on
Southside Irish.
WG. Yeah, just remember, you got to wear knee pads and gloves that day because you might end up on all fours. It's just the way that it goes at that parade. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanchis live,
yes,
from the Goose Island Pub.
At the UC.
I'm pumped for this one.
Me too.
Hawks taking on the Vancouvers tonight. Brought to you by Citgo. Fill up at your locally owned station today. And, it's a very, very exciting. There's an energy in the room.
There is.
I also happen to see some White Sox personnel in here. So it's getting me very excited about the White Sox season. Did Manny Machado call me this morning?
I don't believe so.
All right.
I'll check your messages,
check
though.
Every couple of hours, I check my phone to see if Manny Machado called.
I call him every couple hours, personally. Manny? What are you thinking?
Manny, we hired all of your relatives.
Your whole family's here.
Yes. Is there any chance that we could get this deal done, like, right now?
We just signed your mother to a 4-year deal. She's a wonderful lady.
Right, exactly. And we're she's kind of a middle-inning, you know, reliever now. She's kind of a one-out, two-out kind of a player.
She's too nice. Nobody's going to hit the ball off her anyway. It's our secret weapon of the bullpen.
How long do we have to wait for that whole announcement?
I mean, it could go a while. I remember when this whole thing started, there were reports that, you know, everybody wanted it to happen right away. But if you look at the past two off seasons, I mean, J.D. Martinez of the Red Sox didn't sign until, like, February 25th last year.
I know. Or,
man.
You know,
Arrieta didn't sign until mid-February.
Pitchers and catchers report when?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Or
right.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Kevin will be there.
Kevin is going
to be down in beautiful Glendale,
yes,
reporting for us as the Sox hit the camp. The Cubs will be hitting camp as well. It's going to be very interesting.
Yes, it will.
There's going to be amazing baseball on both sides of town this year.
If I'm out there and Machado signs, I'm getting him on the blower right away, and I'm going to put it on the Rokan Show with Anna. Manny, these are your two biggest fans. We need you on the phone now.
Yeah.
They have thoughts about you coming to the Southside.
That would be a beautiful thing.
Oh.
It would be a beautiful thing.
Oh, my God. Imagine the deal is something big is going to happen here because there's essentially two teams left and two major players.
Exactly.
Left. So that
exactly
I see
right.
One at each place, and I do see Bryce Harper more as a Philly.
Yeah, he could go to the Phillies. Now we're having reports that the Padres are interested in.
Where
both
did they
guys.
Come from?
They came out of nowhere, and the Giants are coming out
what?
Of nowhere. I think those reports are
our
this
agent.
Well, I think there's
reports.
Agents, and actually, I don't even know if these agents want those reports out because it almost looks like a sign of desperation for these guys. Because really, it was only the Sox, Phillies, the Nationals, maybe the Yankees, and now that this is getting dragged on, and we've seen how teams are approaching free agency the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the deal they thought they were going to get is just not there. So they're fishing, and they're fishing, and they're looking for any team possible. So if it is the Padres or Giants, to me, that's agents going to other teams outside the three or four teams we've been hearing from for the past month or so now, where they're like, damn it, maybe we're not going to get a $300 million contract. Maybe it's only going to be only, in air quotes, $200 million, you know, in 7 years, or 7 years, $175 million, rather than the $300 million we thought.
But these guys do have, they have those outs, those one-way outs now.
Yeah,
in a lot of these contracts.
Yeah.
So we'll just see. Listen, Manny, my friend, come and meet my little friend. The Chicago White Sox organization.
We'll bring Manny to the Southside Parade. We'll dedicate
yes!
a whole floor
to
him.
That sealed the
this
deal.
This is how we have fun down here, Manny.
Yeah. Right. Look at all the fun in Chicago.
There's our sports guy wrestling someone on Western Avenue. There's the puke and rally. And yeah.
Just don't bring your family. Rokan says this year is not the year for that.
No, I didn't say that. I said there should be a family area. And the family area is anywhere from 95th to 101st. Then once you get south of 101st, look out.
Honestly, the parade itself feels very family. The parade itself is family. It's the stuff that scatters around the neighborhoods, and there's like 14 kegs in some guy's backyard, or, you know, it was tame, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, right. On Western Avenue, it is what it is.
Right.
But I mean, but who are you going to call a cop down there? I don't think so. I mean, the,
yeah, the ones who are off duty act like there's never been a cop in their life. Right. Like, no.
The at the Cork and Kerry, for example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our dear friends.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know the thank you. The drinking begins on Western Avenue at a fairly early time on a Sunday, as soon as legally viable.
Right. Sure.
On a Sunday morning.
Right.
And then the people at the Cork and Kerry, they get a little, it's a little bit of a blitzkrieg going on there.
Right.
And then there's a,
they start early. Way,
you know, we think about the Cork and Kerry because it's the big name down there.
Yeah.
But there's five other places within two blocks of them. And then there's one that doesn't, there's one that has no signage whatsoever that's a little half a block off of Western.
Uh-huh. That one's good too.
Oh my God. That one.
I've heard some things happen there too.
Not only does it have no signage, I have no idea if it has a name, and it has, barely has a door, which is the one thing that I find interesting, because I'm like, where, you don't even know how to get in, but uh-huh. It's got a little gravel parking lot, and the next thing you know, there's people in there, and it's, that, if you want to see real Southside Irish drinking action, that place is the place to go.
You get beer and peanuts, and that's about it.
Beer, peanuts. Well, not just beer. There's a lot of. You know, you. Right. I mean, whiskeys of all
brown water.
Whiskeys of both varieties of Irish and Irish are available in there as well.
Wow, now I'm excited for the Southside Parade.
I know. I am
spring.
Too.
Does it? I mean, even though it's kind of a weird night out.
Oh, and it was perfect last year. It was a little chilly, but it was sunny and it was nice out.
But don't you feel like spring is kind of popping
it
around?
It does feel like today, even. You got a little bit of warmth. You saw people here at the Hawks game tonight wearing shorts because this is shorts weather after you've survived the polar vortex.
I did see those guys, and I wanted to call a well being check immediately.
those are the guys that wear shorts 365 days a year.
Right.
-50, no problem. I'll go shovel the driveway in shorts.
Yeah, that's what these guys are doing.
Yeah, but, sort of. Right.
That's what it is. I mean, we've got a lot of positive thoughts here. So
yes.
All right. I'm all excited.
Always energy here at the UC, but a little extra today. You can just feel it.
Isn't it cool?
Well,
think about
imagine.
That.
All right, so you got the Bears being great.
Amazing.
And they're going to be anywhere between really good and great for at least the next couple of seasons.
No question.
Right? They're going to be they're a thing to watch. You've got, you know, the Cubs are in their championship window. The White Sox are about to enter their championship window, right? Within, I mean, who knows? I mean, I think it could be as soon as this season, because if they get Machado and then Eloy Jimenez is what, you know, is advertised to be, look out. But next year for sure.
Yeah.
As Steve Stone said to us, World Series 2020. That's what he's been saying to us for the last 2 years.
He has.
So there's that. The Hawks, you're now starting to see something happen here. You're seeing, you know, the core. You see the genius of, Stan Bowman, I know people were calling for his head at the earlier part of the season. You're starting to see why he was smart about Jeremy Culleton and why he was smart about holding on to Kane and Taves and all those things everybody was calling for, you know, blow up the Hawks. So that's all turned around to be, we get to see what's happening there. And now the Bulls, I'm going to sit down with
Going on there, Rob?
With Pax and Gar, I'm going to have a little conversation.
I'm going to be honest. There is no way to spin the Bulls situation right now. It is disastrous right
Unless
now.
Unless it's just a total tank job waiting
it
for.
It is, but basically the move they made is basically saying, and John Paxson said today, he's like, look, we're probably not going to be spending much money on any of the free agents this upcoming offseason, which means you're looking at another horrific year for the Bulls. But outside of the Bulls, everybody else is looking pretty good right now.
Yeah. Well, I think what Willie Wilson explained to me about the Bulls.
What did he say?
No, five different superintendent for the Bulls.
Five different what?
Superintendent.
He broke down the superintendents for the police department. He wanted, what, four of them, I think?
And different. I got to get four. You got to get white, black, Latin, other.
He did. He did suggest the other.
So there was exact.
I didn't quite understand what the other was.
Yes,
I mean,
other.
Who fills
I don't know.
That?
I don't
Who's
know.
That superintendent?
No, I don't know. I got a leg in China.
China.
I like that. China, maybe I like Jewish. I don't know.
So you would suggest that for sports too, you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to suggest that for the Bulls.
Yeah, you have
I'm going to suggest five coaches. Five independent coaches that are going to one for each player, one for each starter.
I like that.
That's perfect. I think that. That's something they should try.
They should try almost anything at this point.
Throw it up against the wall.
It really is something because it's, you know, you. It's like, I mean, you grew up in this, Kevin, as a kid. I mean, it was, you were a little child, but still, nonetheless.
I know where you're going with it, but we look through photo albums. There isn't a single picture where somebody doesn't have Bulls gear on.
That's right. So
Bulls
t-shirt,
a Bulls hat. They were an international team. What Jordan was, I mean, I remember. It was sort of the back end of course, but that was just. That was pandemonium. And people still are obsessed with the Bulls. I mean, you come to a Bulls game, it's still pretty packed at the UC because of the brand, because Michael Jordan does so much for the organization still, indirectly. I know he has his own team. But you come here and half the jerseys are Jordan jerseys. So it's still just an iconic brand.
Right. And the statue and the whole thing. And you have an anticipation.
Jordan played here. He won championships here.
Get to stare at his jersey.
That matters a lot, I think, to people. So.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why people are passionate about it.
Yes. So.
But it just feels like you have this waiting issue in the NBA where is if you're not going to be a championship team, then you don't spend.
100%.
So you just sort of sit. You have this awful situation.
The Pelicans have Anthony Davis, a top 3, 4, 5 player in the all in the NBA.
Right.
And what if he just wants out? He just wants to go join stars in bigger markets.
Top 5 player, one eyebrow. That's the thing I love about him.
And he's a Chicago Charter School graduate.
Yes. And another Chicago.
There's an opportunity to build a team around a guy like that in Chicago.
But he's basically said he doesn't want to play in Chicago.
And who would?
Right now, nobody.
Who would want to jump on board there?
I wouldn't take a contract.
Let's be honest. I mean, I don't get it, but that's why they have to make a commitment to actually getting better. And I'm like, yeah.
Bring Ryan Wilson will fix it somehow.
Maybe if he does not become the mayor of Chicago, make him the head coach of the Bulls.
Yes, exactly.
One of the coaches.
Willie Wilson. Do you know what Willie Wilson's going through right now? It's his fantasy camp. He made all his money, and now the world is his fantasy camp. So he's decided he wanted to be president. That didn't work out. But it was close, really, if you think about what happened. He wanted to be mayor. Right, he wants to be mayor. Maybe he'll make mayor. Not that. We'll make him the head of the Bulls.
Yeah, Bulls exec. Take over for Gar Pax.
I think he'd do very well in that position.
All right. All right. Are we 2 minutes away? Are we 2 minutes away? All right.
I need a track loader, by the way.
Yes.
That would be helpful.
Fly then.
Maybe for Valentine's Day.
Oh, you'll be, I'll just put that out there into the ether.
I'm going to give you a skid. Are you sure you don't want a skid steer?
Oh, I love a skid steer.
I don't know what that is, but I bet I would like that.
I bet you would love it. They do skid steers in heart shapes now, too. It's really great.
Right. I just like a Zamboni.
All right.
That'd be fun.
Thank you very much. All right. Blackhawks hockey coming your way in 2 minutes.